Okay, we have to begin a brand new sugya. So the Gemara is commenting on a statement of the Mishnah. The Mishnah back on the test told us that whenever you are supposed to be watching something and you were negligent in your watching your item, so it went out and damaged, so you have to pay. And then the Mishnah threw in a very, very cryptic statement. That if a person was only created the scenario for a part of the nezek, he was really technically only responsible for a part of the zevra mazik, doesn't matter, we're going to nail him for the entire thing as well. So the Gemara has a big problem. What in the world that means? What do those words mean even? So the Gemara Daf Yudam Adav quotes a braisa that elaborates upon what this mishnah means. So Tadar Rabbanam Nechshad to Mixas Nisko Chatek Lishnum Nisko Zeresh Kol Nisko Ketzer Hachofe Bar Tisho Bahache Vishnim Al Yasara Ha'achron Chayev. Boom. One guy digs a pit that's 9 tefachim deep, and the next guy comes and adds a 10th tefach. So the person who made the 10th tefach, the second fellow, he's the one who's chayav, even though he didn't really do the whole thing. If I can't, he only did 10% of it, he only did a mixas. Doesn't matter, he's chayav to pay for anything and everything that happens. Kilu hirshir kol misko. And that's the pshat in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is describing the scenario of a boar going from 9 to 10. And the person who made it to the 10, he's the one who's going to be chayav in its entirety. Atkan divrei habraisa, for our purposes. So the Gemara begins to relate this and say, well, wait a second, this is not so poshut. This is actually a major running machlekes atanoim between Rebbe and the Rabbanon later on in the fifth parak. So the Gemara says that the local Rebbe, that this braisa is not following the view of Rebbe. Yeah, that's how the Kama, the Rabbanim say that. The Rebbe Omer, not so simple. Rebbe says that the second fellow is held responsible for Misa. That makes sense, because he's the one who made it into a 10 Tzvachim pit. But Legabi and Nezikin, they both have to split it. So from the fact that Hamishta says that the second guy pays everything, that doesn't seem to support Rebbe. He says, no, not necessarily. Rapapam the Misa v'Yakov. That maybe the Braisa, the Mishnah and the Braisa are referring to the issue of Misa, which would be true even according to Rebbe, that the second guy would pay everything. So maybe we can defend the Mishnah and the Braisa according to Rebbe also. He could Yamri, those who say, Lamed Loka Rebbe, that the flow of the text of the Gemara was that rather than making a statement that this is not Rebbe, the Gemara questions, is it not Rebbe? Amrapapa, the Misa the Vekal comes out to the same conclusion. So when all the dust settles, we have a Mishnah, we have a Brayis, we have a Chogs Rebbe in the Rabbanan, and now our sugi begins by trying to make sense out of all that we just read in the last couple of lines of the Gemara. So let's take 10 steps backwards and try to analyze, try to understand what's going on in this entire sugi. So we have to go back, even before the Machlokes Rebbe and the Rabbanan, just back to the ABCs of Bor. Let's reacquaint ourselves with Bor, back from earlier on the Perek. What are the two basic yesodos of Bor? There's Bor of Misa, and there's a Bor of Nezikin. If you dig a pit that's 10 tefachim deep and an animal dies, then you're going to be chayav. If you dig a pit that's less than that, 9, 8, 7, etc., tefachim deep and the animal dies, you're going to be what? You're going to be potur. But if the animal breaks a leg, you are going to be... Anyone awake? Sunday morning? Can't awake anyone up. Okay? You are going to be chayav. So there's a parasha bor for Misa, there's a parasha bor for Nezikin. Some of you may remember, hopefully fond memories. What was the source of all this? Where did all this come from? How do you know there's even a concept of bor Misa? Well, that's pretty straightforward. That's a pasuk chumash. V'hameis yelo. How do you know there's even a parasha bor for Nezikin in the first place? Who remembers? Come on, five answers on the tip of the tongue. Come on. Wow, it says Bor once, it says Bor twice, Rishami, Zadiyuk, this, or that. Okay, got it. Okay, five different shots, right? Right? Everyone remembers? Was this a sugya way, way back? Okay. So there is a parasha in the Torah called Bor Misa, there's a parasha in the Torah called Bor Nezikin. Those two parashas definitely exist. Comes the Gemara later on, the fifth parak of Bava Kamma, and raises the question, what should the din be when I dig part of a bor and you finish off the bor? Who should be chayav? What should the din be logically? If I would say to you, forget, you never heard a Rebbe, never heard the Rabbanan, never read Daf Tanaf, never read Daf Yud, you know, you come in fresh, and I would say to you, one fellow dug a 9 tefach pit, and the other fellow adds on a tefach, who should be chayev? What do you think makes sense logically? Who should be chayev? First guy, second. Who says the first guy should be chayev? Who says the second guy should be chayev? Who says they should both be chayev? Who says neither should be chayev? Who says they don't know? Everybody. So I would say it's like a no-brainer. Who should be chayev? Well, with a fellow who does the nine tefach pits, that's not enough of a boar to do what? To kill an animal. So if it's not enough of a boar to kill an animal, obviously he's not going to be chayev for the mises ashor. What's the shayev? What's the litis of suffering? What he did, if he would have just did what he did and walked away, nobody would have improved on his work, then the animal wouldn't have died. Or even if the animal would have died, would have owned his gum, or Rashi and Rambam back from earlier sugyas. So there's no question that if the animal dies, the only one who could be held responsible is the person who finished off the job. That's like a milshita. That's like common sense. That's obvious. I don't need a pasuk for that. I don't need 10 norms to tell me that. That's a milshita. So when you go from 9 to 10, vis-a-vis mis, of course the last guy is going to be chayef. But wait a second. What if the animal breaks a leg in the 10 tefach pit? So now what? What should the svara tell us? Just bitam svara pshuta, bitam baseline. What would you say? I went from 9 to 10. What do you think the din should be? They should split it. Why? Because the first guy dug a 9 tefach pit, which had the koach to break a leg of an animal. The guy who put on the 10th tefach added the possibility, made it even more susceptible for the animal break. It's a better chance to break a leg in a 10th tefach pit than a 9th tefach pit. So therefore, both of them are to a certain degree responsible. So whereas when it came to Misa, we can't make the first guy pay a penny because he didn't do anything. He didn't create a boar of Misa. But when it comes to the Zikin, the Svar Pshuta is, clearly the baseline is, they should have to split it. That's what I would have said. And that's exactly what Rebbe says as well. That's exactly what B'dam Nasri says. Now the Chachamim change the rules on us. The Chachamim come and say, no, that even though we're in the realm of Nezikin, the last guy has to pick up the entire tab. And the Rabbanim have to explain themselves. And that's exactly what the Gemara says in the fifth paragraph. My time with the Rabbanim. Rebbe doesn't have to explain himself. Rebbe is self-explanatory. So it's the Rabbanim that have to explain themselves. My time with the Rabbanim. Who's got the sheets? Got the sheets for me. So the Gemara says, my time with the Rabbanon. The Gemara never asks my time with the Rabbi. Rabbi makes all the sense in the world. My time with the Rabbanon. So the Gemara tries this drasha, that drasha, the other drasha. And finally the Gemara comes up with the following drasha. The Gemara says, it says, ki yiftach ish bor, ish is a lashon yochid, ish echad v'lo wa, v'lo shnayim. That they don't split. It doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. It's like there's a kosov. They don't split the chiyuv. One person pays. It's either one or two. Either the first fellow is going to pay or the second fellow is going to pay. How do you know that's the second fellow? Because it says, that the Torah is always pointing in the direction of the person who went over the top. The guy went from 9 to 10. He is the balabor. He is the Isha Kosaba Torah. And therefore, according to the Rabbanan, not only in the case of 9 to 10 vis-a-vis Misa, which is a Pasha to Svara that the second guy pays, even the Gabi Nezikin, which is far from a Svara, it's a Gzeres HaKosov of Ish, Afapichain, the second guy pays. So we, of course, follow like the Rabban. We very often follow Rebbe, but Halakha Rebbe Mechavei Rav, Lo Mechavei Rav, and Rebbe takes on everybody else, then Rebbe tends to lose. So all the other Tanoim, all his colleagues, all the Hanukkah Tanoim disagreed with Rebbe, and they said, no, there is a Gzeres HaKosov. And Rebbe explained why the Pasuk doesn't really mean it. It's not a Drush, it's not a good Drush, Chokhad Gadja. But we follow the Rabbanim that this is a good Derasha, and therefore the Gzeres HaKosov teaches me the second fellow always pays. So now we are dealing with this model. This is the Gzeres HaKosov model. Going from 9 to 10, and the Gzeres HaKosov is that the second fellow, pays for everything. That's the model of the Gzeres HaKosov. The second fellow pays for everything. But now, even though we have this model, we have to go a few steps further and analyze just how far this model goes. Just what kind of cases are subsumed under the Gzeres HaKosov and which perhaps are not. So comes the Gemara later on in the fifth parak, in that Sugya Daf Nun Aleph, and the Gemara begins to analyze, well, what would the din be if we change the numbers a little bit? What if we, instead of going from 9 to 10, the first fellow dug a pit which was already 10 tefachim, And what does the second guy do? He makes it into what? Into 20. So now we go from 10 to 20. What do you think the Rabbanan would say about 10 to 20? What do you think the Rabbanan would say about going from 10 to 20? Do you think the Rabbanan would say, Agdesa Kosov, the second fellow, Ishksiv, number two, always pays everything? Or do I say no? Maybe there's a big difference between going from 9 to 10 or from going from 10 to 20. So comes the Gemara and suggests the following chiluk. The Gemara suggests that maybe when you go from 10 to 20, maybe that starts subsumed under this Gersa Kosov. Why? There's a big difference conceptually between the two cases. What's the difference? What's the difference between going from 9 to 10 or going from 10 to 20? What's the huge difference? When you dug a pit of 10, what did you do? You created a chaloshein, a chefza. You can say it with Yiddish a little bit, move your hands around, make some face motions. You made a chefza for the what? For the bor, for Misa. You created a shein, bor, for Misa. And therefore, there's no way in the world we can ever exempt you for anything and everything that ever happens in this bor. Bishlama, when all you did was a bor of tes, which is a different kind of a bor. It's not a full-fledged bor, it's a half-baked bor. So when you made a half-baked bor, then you can accept this gersa kosov. They're going from 9 to 10, we're going to nail the second guy with everything. But once you made a shear, a bor of Misa, then it's all over, and you are for sure going to have to pay. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to have to pay alone, because let's not forget, the guy went from 10 to 20, also was very much responsible for what happened. But if you think you're going to get out of bor free card because there's another guy who improved in your bor, forget it, once you made a bor Misa. So whose chiddush is that? Who's the one who came up with that idea? With that chiluk, with that svara? Which Amora came up with that idea? Rav Zvid. Okay, so Rav Zvid, on the second of the Maamar Koimus, tells us, Amar Rav Zvid, Havar Rabban, Ad kan lo ka'amir Rabban Acharon Chayav, El heichad de lo ovet kama shir misa. El heichad de ovet kama shir misa, filo Rabban Moldu de kulun Chayavin. That was Rav Zvid's introduction to the sugya, that even the Rabbanan who here say number two, in this case, we're going to say one and two. They're going to have to split the tashlum in. This is Rav Zvid. What prompted Rav Zvid to say this besides the svara, besides this logically, it makes a lot of sense. Textually, what prompted Rav Zvid to say this? Did anyone read the Maamar Koimus? What prompted Rav Zvid to say this? The what? The Braisa. There's a Braisa tucked away in the Daftan Aleph where the Braisa says, Echad echof ebor asara, now, if Rav Zvid is not right, then we're going to have to take that brisa of kulan chayavin, and we're going to have to water it down and make that brisa follow who? It would have to follow Rebbe. The only way, if Rav Zvid is wrong, then that brisa, that stam brisa, is going to have to be put into the corner and have to follow a view of Rebbe that we don't really paskin like. So Rav Zvid looked at the brisa, says, you know what? I don't want the Braisa to be a lone Braisa just like Rebbe. I think the Braisa can make sense even according to the Rabbanan. We just have to touch up the Svara that over here, Ovid Shir Misa, and Ovid Shir Misa, number one who does Ovid Shir Misa, that trumps, that overcomes any Gzeresa Kosov of what? What's Gzeresa Kosov here? Ish, etc. Right? That V'chule, Ish V'chule. Ovid Shir Misa swallows up this Gzeresa Kosov, negates the Gzeresa Kosov, and then you just go back to both number one and number two having to pay. This is Rav Zvid's version in the Lishna Kama. And then Rav Zvid takes it about face. Well, we're not sure what Rav Zvid said, but if we took it about face, the Gemara takes it about face. The Gemara says, no, you know what? Ikedi Amri, there are those who said that Amr Rav Zvid, Hava HaRebbe. That Enochin Amri, that Bryce that goes from 10 to 20, it says they're both Chayev, that is only Rebbe. It wouldn't be true according to the Rabbanan. Because according to the Rabbanan, what would the din be? What should the din be? Acharon Aniba. Because that's Gzeres HaKosov, and rather than Ovid Shir Misa swallowing up Ish V'chule, what happens? What happens according to the second Lashon? The other way around. Ish is Gzeres HaKosov, it swallows up Ovid Shir Misa. This is an irrelevant piece of information, and therefore the din is, it's the same as the plain old Machlokes Rebbe and the Rabbanan back to square one. So in order to settle, we have now multiple cases where it's hard. This sugya is not a conceptually hard sugya, it's just a technically hard sugya. You just have to remember the names and the numbers. So again, we started out case number one, right? Let's get case number one is going from 9 to 10, okay? So what do we know about that? Tell me everything we know about 9 to 10. So So if it's the Gabi Nisa, what's the din? Kulei Alma, who's Chayav? Second guy, okay? If it's the Gabi Nezikin, so then that was the sheet of the Rebbe and the Rabbanon. We paskin like, what? We paskin like, what? According to the Rabbanon, it's the second. And according to the Rebbe, it's what we split it. Okay? So one plus two. Okay? And we paskin the halach, of course, like the view of the Chav. Okay, good. That's the case in the Gemara. That's the case, the original Machlokes. Then you have case number two. Case number two is you're going not from 9 to 10, but you're going from 10 to 20. So you have Lishna Kamba over Zoyin. Again, now we're only interested in the world of the Rabbanon. Rabbi, we put away for now. So according to the Lishna Kamba of Rav Zvid, what happens when you go from 10 to 20? Chazer for a second. What do? Then you split, right? Okay, 1 plus 2. And according to Lishna Basra of Rav Zvid, nope, because the custom still applies here as well. Okay, so far so good. If you had a paskin in the Shire, now it's important to paskin because this is all within the view of the Rabbanon. So we want to know the din is, if you were reading this Gemara and you were a Risha and your task at hand was to paskin in the Shire, what would you do? Based on your great, grandiose knowledge of Kol Yapsak, what would you do? You're a Risha, okay? You're sitting in the Middle Ages and either you're sitting in, I don't know, you're a Rif, you're sitting in the middle of Morocco, or you're a Rambam, you're sitting in the middle of Cairo, or you want to be an Ashkenazi, you're in the Rush, so they stuck you in Germany somewhere. And we're trying to figure out, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? What are the Kol Yapsak? What should we do? What do you think we do? Well, we definitely follow the Rabbanon, and Lishna Basra usually gets the upper hand in Halacha, right? That's usually kind of the way things go when you have two Lishnas in the Gemara. So the fact that the Gemara presents it in this way seems to lend more credibility to the second Lishna. That's almost a klal. Some Rishonim thought that was a real klal in Pesach Halacha. But there's something else that's tugging at us, nagging at us. There's another textual issue here. What prompted Rav Zvid in the Lishna Kamba to say what he said? Because he had this stam braisa and he felt very, very bad to take the braisa and basically, you know, throw it into Rebbe's bin and kind of, you know, put it away for eternity. So he was willing to bend over backwards and to relook at the sugya and revamp and come up with this gevaldike svar of Avit Shir Misa that was able to trump the Gezeiras HaKosov. And Rav Zvid and Lishna Kamba thought that was very convincing and thereby saved the braisa for eternity. That's a good thing, right? If a braisa, stam braisa, rather than say the stam braisa is ready and stick it away forever and ever, if you can make it shalom ba'olam, tavicham ma'ab shalom ba'olam, that would be wonderful and great. Make it a choladeus. So that may also be a factor in Pesach Halacha. It's possible. It's also a potential factor in Pesach Halacha. So this was actually what Chalikas Rishonim. How did Rishonim line up in this? So the Rambam in the third of the Maamar Kermis. So the Rambam writes, "Chofer bar amok asar tefachim, v'achem v'shlim liyasrim, v'bashli v'shlim slashim, kulan chayavin." The Rambam's a famous. The Rambam says that we paskin like which version? Strangely enough, like the Lishna Kamba. So the Rambam says we paskin like Lishna Kamba. And again, what prompted this pesach of the Rambam was the fact that, notwithstanding the fact that it's the Lishna Kamba and Lishna Basra, it has that added advantage of having the stam braisa follow it. And who is the Bapluk of the Rambam on this? Rabbeinu who? The Mansua, the Piskei Harid. Anyone have any idea what the Piskei Harid are? No idea? Did anybody bother looking it up in the safe? Anyone found the safe? Okay. It's Rabbeinu Yeshaya. All right? There are two Sfarim that are printed together. There's the Piskei Harid and the Piskei Harid. Has anyone seen it in the Mishnah? Exists. Okay, the Rid is Rabbeinu Yeshaya, the Taisus Rid. We've quoted him many, many times this year. And the Riaz is the, anyone know what that is? The Rabbeinu Yeshaya Acharon Zal. He was the grandson of the Tzitzit, if I'm not mistaken. So they call Rabbeinu Yeshaya the last one, the first and the last. So in the Pesach Harid, in the first of the Rabbeinu Yeshayas, there are a lot of different Sfarim that we have from Rabbeinu Yeshaya. We have the Tzitzit Rid, and we have the Pesach Harid, and Rav Kamach, in the Sechtos we have the Pesach Harid, and then you have the Shidduch Kubetzos, and we have the line called to Rabbeinu Yeshaya from other places. So you have a lot of different versions of what Rabbeinu Yeshaya said. Who was Rabbeinu Yeshaya? I don't even know who he was. Tosis Rid. He lived in Italy, right? No? He lived in Italy at Tosis Rid. What do you got? What Provence? Italy.
Is
there a Yeshira? Simcha Mishpah? Shapira, that's an Ashkenazi place. Yeah?
Yitzchak Mivina?
That's the Ozarua.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Went back to Italy.
Okay, good. So we know a little bit about him. Okay, so he came from Italy. He learned by all the Ashkenazim, and then he came back to Italy. Italy was closer to like Provence. It wasn't really Sfardim. It wasn't Ashkenazim. It was like a whole other community. So when Yeshaya, his upbringing, his learning was from the Ashkenazi Rishonim. So comes to Ben Yeshaya, and he says that no, I think that the more correct psak is the Lishna Vasra. Rabbi Yeshaya adds to that statement. He doesn't just say for textual reasons it makes more sense that we should follow the Lishna Vasra, but he goes almost to the heart and soul of the entire sugya. Says Ben Yeshaya, this halacha, this original Gezeiras HaKosov, according to the Rabbanan, according to the Rebbe, doesn't exist, but according to the Rabbanan, Ish Chayev Es Hasheni, that the second guy is Chayev. We started off by saying that logically it doesn't make any sense. Because after all, the first guy participated in the Nezek, and the second guy participated in the Nezek. Vis-a-vis Misa, that I understand. Vis-a-vis Misa, I don't even need to exist because of. Vis-a-vis Misa, even Rebbe agrees that you followed the second guy. But vis-a-vis Nezikin, it doesn't really make any sense. Why is the second guy more responsible than the first guy? So we put our hands up before we read the Minishan. It's exist because of. Don't ask any kashas. You know, we believe in it. Like, you know, this week's Parsha, Parsha's Parah, right? Amat Echmuk, it doesn't really make any sense to us. But, you know, with Maminim B'nei Maminim, we follow it anyway. So, but it doesn't really make any sense logically. Sense of Ben Yeshaya, not true. Mishpat, to make a lot of sense. This Gzeiras HaKosov makes an awful lot of sense. What's the sense, according to Ben Yeshaya? Why is it such a Gzeiras HaKosov that the second fellow is Chayav, even though the first guy did participate in the damage? What's the answer, as Ben Yeshaya say? Anyone saw Ben Yeshaya carefully? The first line of Ben Yeshaya, number four. Rabbanan Tzavrei, Matzi L'mei Malei, Ilulei ze ha-tefach she-karisa, the mistake should be a tefach la-tipa, ve-ha-makta, lo-hoye ni-zoik. Hukuch achrim chayev gam ben-niska. What did Ben Yeshaya just say, everybody say? He just explained this, he explained that it's not such a wild discourse, it makes a lot of sense. First guy dug a 9-tefach bor, the second guy made a 10-tefachim, and the animal comes and breaks its leg. Who caused that breaking of the leg? What did you guys think? Both. No, it's not true. How do you know that that leg would have been broken if it would have been a 9-tefach bor? That is pure conjecture. I have absolutely no idea what would have happened because it didn't happen. I have no idea. So we're studying the x-rays, we're studying the MRIs, we're trying to figure out what would have happened if there would have been a little bit less contact, a little bit less distance, but yeah, they have no idea. I don't know. In theory, a 9-tefach bor could have broken a leg. A 9-tefach bor cannot have killed the animal. That we know for a fact. But a 9-tefach bor could have theoretically broken the leg, but lavdavka, I don't really know. So I don't even know whether the first person was really truly a mazik in the first place. I have no way of knowing that. What about the second fellow? I know for a fact that his bor helped contribute. Now, it may have broken without it, that's possible, but at the end of the day, his bor, he had a chilek in this bor. Whereas the first guy, I'm not even sure that he had a chilek in the bor in the first place. Because the 9-tefach bor that he dug may not have broken the leg. We can never say with certainty that something that didn't happen would have happened. And therefore, when Yeshaya says, this Gezeiras HaKosov is not just Stam Sa'achidish HaTorah, it's the Torah Yerd that the Messias is. The Torah, this Gezeiras HaKosov is not so much a Gezeiras HaKosov. The Torah is being Megala to me something which is really a Svara. I may not have Chat the Svara Betchila, but once you think about it long and hard enough, then you realize the Taka makes sense. What does Rabbi Yeshaya gain by turning this Gezeiras HaKosov almost into a Svara? That at the end of the day, the first guy can always turn around and say, we don't really know that what I did contributed. What does he gain by that? What's he marviach by that? That Svara slash Gezeiras HaKosov now takes on a life in and of itself and becomes relevant when? Any and every case. Because give me another case where the first guy could say to the second guy, we don't really know that I caused anything. Give me another case. not just going from 9 to 10, give me another case. What's the other case? Going from 10 to 20 also. When you go from 10 to 20, so then the first guy can say, well, yeah, I know I built a board that was 10 tzvachim. Or let's say, I know I built a pit that was 500 tzvachim. But at the end of the day, we don't really know what happened. There's no way of ever knowing whether the 10 tzvachim pit would have actually killed or injured the person. And therefore, you, number two, are for sure had a share of this pit. I may or may not, I'm not going to have to pay anything. And therefore, Rabbi Yishai says, you know what? Guess what? Because of this svara, which lashon is correct? The lishna, lishna v'asra, must be the correct lashon. According to Rabbi Yishai, what was the nekuda samachlokes to lishonis? According to Rabbi Yishai, why did the first lashon come up with this? Where's the lishonis? Where they go? Where they are, it's a mishnah. Okay, according to Rabbeinu Yeshaya, the second lashon said exists, the cost of trumps everything, and the first lashon said not so fast. What do you think the first lashon held according to Rabbeinu Yeshaya? That it was a what? What do you think the first lashon held? That it was a real bona fide what? Gzeiras HaKosov. But it was a Gzeiras HaKosov that can be trumped by another Gzeiras HaKosov. What's the other Gzeiras HaKosov? That the Rishon is all about what? Shemisa. The first guy made a full-fledged boar. So if you're dealing with Gzeiras HaKosov, ish, the second guy's chai, we don't ask any kashas. Bamed v'mamurim, Rav Zvid is telling me, that's true if the first guy didn't make a complete boar, so then the Gzeiras HaKosov kicks in. But if the first guy made a complete boar, so then the Gzeiras HaKosov doesn't kick in, so then they talk to split it. So the first Lashon Rav Zvid was dealing in the realm of Gzeiras HaKosov, didn't accept that svara that the first guy could say, I didn't do it. What do you mean you didn't do it? You dug a pit, it broke its leg. Of course you did it. And the second Lashon Rav Zvid is Bechadish, that this is not just Gzeiras HaKosov B'Alma. It makes a lot of sense. And it makes a lot of sense that the first guy can always hide behind, I didn't do it. And if he can hide behind, I didn't do it by 9 to 10, if he can hide behind, I didn't do it from 10 to 20 as well. So according to Rabbi Yishai, when all the dust settles, the second Lashon is going to carry the day, that the second fellow is always going to be chayef for Gzeiras HaKosov / Svara, that the first guy can always turn to the second guy and say, I didn't really have a share of this boar. Proof to me that my half-baked boar was what participated, what contributed to the breaking of this leg.
How can the theorist say that the first guy can just hide behind the fact that, oh, like, it's not necessarily true. If the whole purpose of the Gemara, like labeling the board's head as the board, and Zekin and the board, Yud as the board.
But it doesn't mean it's always, it doesn't mean that, no. All the Gemara is saying is that if an animal breaks a leg in a nine type of board, you can't hide it behind and say, oh, it's not my board that did it. But it means it could happen. In a nine type of board, it could break a leg, but not necessarily. So now we have no way of knowing, because it wasn't, in the end of the day, the animal fell into a tent tevach bar. So we don't know what would have happened if the road not taken in life. What would have happened? A lot of roads. Think about your own life. What would have happened? Like these major decisions of life. Let's say if you would have gone to Shalavim instead of Kota, who knows what would have happened to all these major things that happened in your lives, okay? So you would have gone to, I don't know, a major decision you guys have made in your life. Frisch at the ABC. What would have happened? Mamish, the world would have come to an end. Okay. Yes. I don't even know that I did anything. I did chas with Shia. I mean, 10 tefach is a Shia. But it's a chilas with Shia b'sofo b'nothing because I didn't do the nezek. But somebody else did the nezek. Let's say I'm Peshia. Let's say this. Let's say, I'll give you an example, all right? Let's say I'm peshe in something, and then you come and you take a sledgehammer and you break it. I'm chai for that. You're chai for that.
No, the case where you say, how do you know
with me? So how do you know? So Sophie, well, you go prove that my boar broke the guy's leg, broke the animal's leg. There's no way to ever prove that. It's the road not taken. There you have it, okay? Rabbi say. So now we got a lot of numbers flying around, a lot of stuff flying around, but we got 9 going to 10s, we got 10s going to 20s, we got a lot of stuff flying around. But let's go back to that world exists across us again, and we're going to accept this, this 9 going into 10, that both of them are going to be chayav, right? That we know. don't even know where we have here. 9 going to 10, according to the Rabbanan. All right, according to Rabbanan number 2, he's going to be chayv everything. I want case number 3. Who's got another case for me, let's say? Who's got another unique case for me? What more numbers? Not 9 to 10, not 10 to 20, but 8 to 9. Why not? Okay? I went from 8 to 9. Oh, yeah, within the worldview of the Rabbanan, what do you think about that? Like, obviously, the animal didn't die. Died, shouldn't have died. Wouldn't have died, no one's chayv. Broke a leg. What do you think? Animal broke a leg. I'm an 8 to 9 boy. What do you think about that? Any thoughts on that? So Tosfos on Daf Nun Aleph, I don't get to the fifth of the Rambam Kavos, Tosfos on Daf Nun Aleph says, Achron Chayev, Da very small time, so 1.5 doses. Dafka hu bishu shechidesh misa shlo hayim itchila. Aval rishon ches v'zeh tes kulam chayavim b'nezikin kibo zeh yud v'zeh esrim. Says Tosis, b'med divam amurim that the second guy is chayav for everything. This is Tosis going within the world of the Rabbanan, achron chayav. But mad v'amamurim that the second guy is chayav for anything and everything. That's when you went from 9 to 10. Because the fellow who made that, put that 10th tefach on, did something unbelievable. What did he do? What did he create? He created Barsha Misa. And that makes all the difference in the world. Under your breath, you have to say, wait a second. Tosfos said, you went from 9 to 10, you made the bar of Misa, you did everything, we're really mad at you. What's the problem? The animal didn't die. The animal only broke a leg. It only broke its leg. Don't mix up the facts, Tosfos. You created a chetza for the bar for Misa, and that's why the achron is chayev. But, what if you didn't do that? What did you do? You merely went from 8 to 9, Kulam chayavim b'nezikin. That everybody is chayav. Why? Kamo yizeh yud v'zeh esrim. Says Tosfos, if you go from 8 to 9, that is the halach equivalent of going from what to what? From 10 to 20. And we know how Tosfos is going to paskin on this one. No, he's not going to paskin like everybody shy on this one. He's going to paskin like the Rambam. And according to Lishna Kama, when you go from 10 to 20, what's the din? What's the halacha? They're both chayav. So too, if you go from 8 to 9, they are both going to be chayav. Ad kan divrei Tosfos. So again, there's no gemara about this topic. Up until now, at least we had gemaras. Here we have 10-9. From 9 to 10, we have 10-9 speaking. From 10 to 20, we had Rav Zvid Petam Aron speaking within Brises. And now we're ready in our own world. Now we're ready in the world of the Rishonim. There's no Gemara about going from 8 to 9. So Tosfos going from 8 to 9 is the same as going from 10 to 20, which we pass like Lishna Kama to Rav Zvid, and therefore it's going to be Shneim Chayavim. It's the Shita of Tosfos. And why did Tosfos highlight this? What made Tosfos believe this is true? What was the key phrase that Tosfos said? That the only time that there's a cost of applies is when the second fellow created the bore of Misa. That is the Kedaya. Any and every time when the second guy is not the creator of the bore of Misa, then you always fall back and say, Shneim Chayavim. That's Tosfos Shita. So according to Tosfos, it's a phenomenal Gzeres HaKosov. It's really an unbelievable Gzeres HaKosov. The Gzeres HaKosov of Achron Chayav is really telling me that it's the creator of Bor Shel Misa that has to pick up the entire tab. Even though, what's the unbelievable, even though we said under our breath before? Even though we're not even talking about a case of Misa. It's a startling statement. I'm paskin in one area of halacha, and you're bringing me a right from another area of halacha. Paskin is Zikin, paskin is Misa. So you see from Tosfos, that's not true. You see from Tosfos, that bor of Misa, that's the real bala bor. Once you are the one who created the bor of Misa, that's going to carry over all alachiyuvim. It's a remarkable chiddush of Tosfos. It almost touches a little bit in some of the things we spoke about earlier in the year. Remember, we make reference to a little while ago, what's the source of Borei Nezikin in the first place? Who remembers? There were different sheets of Rishonim. Some Rishonim highlighted that Borei Nezikin is almost like a separate pasuk, like a special Zeresa Kosov. Remember? What was the special? Either it says Bor twice, those kinds of drushes. And then there are a whole group of other Rishonim who said, what's the makor for Borei Nezikin? Who remembers? It's a deal from Borei Misa, right? Just as Borei Misa is Chayav, the Svarez, but remember, there are some Rishonim who put Borei Nezikin almost like on its own pedestal, like almost like two halachas of Bor. And there are other Rishonim who said, no, the real Bor, the Bor across the Torah is Bor Shal Misa. That's what says the Chumash. Everything else is a drosha, is a this, is a that, is a diuk, is a mashmos, is a drosha. So Tosfos seems to be putting a lot of strength in the Bor Shal Misa to such an extent that it's the creation of the Chepsa from Bor Misa that's going to force us to paskin a Shaila vis-a-vis a Bor. It's not even a Bor Shal Misa Shaila. It's only a Bor Shal Nezikin Shaila. And that's why Tosfos was comfortable with saying 8 to 9 is the same as 10 to 20, because in both cases it's lacking that creation of the second fell of the Bor Shal Misa. Could one argue with Tosfos? Could one argue with this equation? The answer is obviously yes, or so we never pose such a question. Could one argue that going from 8 to 9 is not quite the same as going from 10 to 20? Could one say such a thing? Going from 8 to 9 is not quite the same? Says the Ra'ah, the Shit Mekubetz, number 6. אבל ראות זה על כוסה וזה לשני. איך את חופה בו תשע ובו אחר ושלימה לי עשרה? פירש. והוא הדין חופה בו שמונה ובו אחר ושלימה לי תשע. אחרון בו ועד חי בנזיקין. Says the Ra'ah, when you go from 9, so you go from 8 to 9, what's the din? What's the lacha? According, you go from 8 to 9, according to the Ra'ah, the second fellow is Chayav. Why is the second fellow Chayav? Because this is the Gzeres HaKosav of the second fellow being Chayav. But wait a second. But it's not the same as going from 9 to 10. What's the answer, says the Ra'ah? What's the answer, says the Ra'ah? What's the answer? There's no fundamental difference between going from 9 to 10 or from going from 8 to 9. The fact that the second guy created the Chi of Misa, that's irrelevant. That's not the Gzeres HaKosov. The Gzeres HaKosov, according to the Ra'ah, is that Achron Ani Ba. The second one is Chayav. Not because he created a Shir Misa. I'm Paskin Nezikin. We have a Chayav with Shir Misa. Achron Ani Ba. The second guy is always Chayav. There's only one thing and one thing alone that can trump that Gzeres HaKosov. What is that? If the first person created a what? A Shir Misa. Why? That's the Gzeres HaKosov of Rav Zvid Lishtakam. That's the Gzeres HaKosov of Rishon Ovid Shir Misa. If you create a boar of 10, so then the Gzeres HaKosov doesn't apply to you. But Kol's man that you didn't create a boar of 10, so then you're going to be held, and we're going to always follow the second fellow. It doesn't matter, not only because the second guy created a Shir Misa, even when you go from 8 to 9, there's no difference in that and going from 10 to 20. So we got a lot of numbers, a lot of stuff flying around. So again, let's put everything into perspective. Again, it's a hard sugya, not because of any lumdus. It's a hard sugya just to keep the numbers straight in our heads. So going 9 to 10 was the Machlokes. Misa, everyone agrees. Nazik and Machlokes Rebbe and the Rabban. We pass back to Rabban. Going from 10 to 20, to the Shonis and Rav Zvid, Machlokes the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yeshaya. The Rabbeinu Yeshaya passed it this way because his unique understanding of the Gzeres HaKosov is really a svar. Fine. Then we go from 8 to 9. The Rishonim created a new case. So Tosfos says going 8 to 9 is the same as 10 to 20 because Kol's man, you didn't have that going from 9 to 10. That's you can't hold the second guy responsible totally. And there all says Mafitom. There all says any and every time that you didn't have the first guy creating a shear of 10, so you always follow the second fellow. Could we add one more case, everybody, to this mix? One more case to this mix, just to make one thing, one more complicated number. We have every possible permutation of numbers here, right? We got 9 to 10, we got 10 to 20, 8 to 9. We need one more, all our math majors. Give me one more. 10 to 11. Right, why not? Going from case from 10 to 11. What do you think the din should be going from 10 to 11? So here we have a startling statement in Sefer Shoharim. It's actually a steer 2 days in Taisus. When you go from 10 to 11, what should the rules be? Again, leaving out Rabbeinu Yeshaya, leaving following the Rambam and Taisus, what should the rule be? Well, from 10 to 11 should be the same as going from what? From 10 to what? From 10 to 20. And therefore, what should it then be? Shneim Chayavim, right? And here, all of a sudden, we find half the Rishonim throw a curveball at us. What's the curveball? Maybe what? Catch this one. Not that both are Chayav, and not that only the second guy is Chayav, but only what? Only the first guy is Chayav. Why? Because the second guy did absolutely what? Nothing. Why honey, the second guy? Bishlama, when I went from 9 to 10, that was significant. Bishlama, from 10 to 20, that was real. And from 10 to 11, big spritz, what's the difference? Whatever would have happened in 10 would have happened in 11 also. Which Rishon do you think would be standing here and screaming and saying, what are you talking about? I mean, Yishai would say, what? He's saying, this is a classic opportunity for the second guy to turn around and say, what? What? And say, go, I'm sorry, for the first guy to say, the second guy, prove that I had anything to do with this. Maybe it wouldn't have broken at 10. So comes Tosfos in one place, and there's a Stephen Tosfos between the first parak and the fifth parak. Tosfos in one place says that when you go from 10 to 11, it's so insignificant. What does Tosfos say? What does Tosfos say in Asuka da Fiyur of the Beis? Anyone take a look at that Tosfos? Tosfos says, Echad Shechofa Bo Yud Ba'achem Ishlibu Liyad Aleph. Tosfos here talks about it, Tosfos in the fifth parak talks about it. Tosfos in one place writes, when you go from Yud to Yad Aleph, it's garbage, it's meaningless, and if the first guy is held accountable entirely. And Tosfos the other day says, Mapitom, arbitrary numbers. Doesn't make any sense. So Ad Kan Rabbeisai is the numeric part of the sugya. If anyone's mixed up with the numbers, case up unmixed up, this is just the technical part of the sugya. This is not the lumdish part of the sugya. Now the lumdish part of the sugya begins. Why are we talking about this altogether? Why are we talking about Hechshayit and Mikzah? Because we're trying to understand Hechshayit and Mishnah. Hechshayit and Mikzah Nisko, Chayav Tekilu, Hechshakon Nisko. We're trying to hold the person responsible for even though what he did was really only partial, but we're trying to hold him responsible for in its entirety. The Mishnah didn't say a word about Bor. We don't even know the Mishnah was talking about Bor. The Braisa told us the Mishnah's talking about Bor, which got us confused with Rabbi and the Rabbanim, made us four cases on the board, got us all finished with the numbers, we're still mixed up. But the Gemara says, you know what? There are other cases also. There are other equally legitimate cases that could be subject to this Mishnah. And the Gemara attempts a whole bunch of them. Says the Gemara, Maskevla Rabbi Zeira. Vesuleika. Vayika, I'll give you another case. Masa Shaira Lechamisha B'nai Adam. Uposha B'yechem Ehem Yezik Chayav. I hand my shore over to five people. And four of them are doing a good job. They're holding down the shore tight. And what's happening? One of the guys decided to not show. No show. What happened to him? Sunday morning after Purim, after Shabbat, he's still recovering. He didn't show up to watch the show. So five people accepted to watch the show. They signed up to be responsible. Only four showed up. So the Gemara says, Gevalt, the fifth guy who didn't show up, he was Hirshon in Miktas HaNezek. Now the show went out and gored. So he was only partially responsible. He's going to have to pick up the entire tab. And that should have been shot in the mission. Maybe that's the shot. Maybe the mission is not even talking about burgers. Mishnah's talking about Shor. That was Rav Zvitz. Rav Zeir's kasha. But not so. What's the case? Ilema. The belav iu lo havi minter. Pshita diuk ovid. If without the fifth fellow here, that animal is not controllable. It takes five guys to hold down this shore, and four of them came to the job, and they're sweating and trying to hold down, trying to what's it called to. Lasso, right? So you have four guys trying to lasso this animal, and the fifth guy is sleeping, and now the four guys are getting attacked, and the animal breaks loose and it damages. Is there any shaila that the fifth guy is totally responsible? He's totally and completely responsible. Because he didn't show up. He was mamashah, he was makabel to wash the shore. He didn't do what he's supposed to do. He's a pishay of a dover. Of course he has to pay. The shomer shaposh has to pay. So I don't need a Mishnah to tell you. That's not a Chshayit and Miktas Nisko. He's the guy that he did everything. So that wouldn't be the case. El Debalav Iu Navi Mintar. So it must be the Pshat is that the four guys could have done it. four people can potentially hold down the shore, and they just didn't quite do their job. The fifth guy is still sleeping. He's still diving shachris now. He's still catching the begil. He's still in another world. So four guys who showed up, they didn't do what they were supposed to do, but the fifth guy should turn around and say, what? What should he say with magic words? My COVID. I didn't do anything. What do you want from me? What does Rashi say, my COVID? Rashi says, I don't have to pay anything. What did I do wrong? I was totally responsible for what I did. I knew that there were five people who were supposed to come, but I knew the job could be done with four. I knew the other four were showing up, and there was no reason for me to come. The other four could have held down the shore if they would have wanted to, and they just didn't do a good job. They're responsible, and I'm totally off the hook. That's what Rashi learns. Eino chayev klum. Totally, completely exempt. Do you hear the story Rashi just said? You hear what the Gemara just said? Five guys accepted a shmir. Sounds like a joke. Five guys supposed to watch an ox. Four guys show up to watch the ox. The fifth guy knows that they don't really need him. And now the ox breaks loose and gores. Who's responsible? So the four guys are responsible. The four guys who were responsible guys who came and did the job, they just weren't as strong as they should have been. They have to pay. The fifth guy gets off scot-free. That's exactly what the Gemara just said. That's right. That's the din. So the Gemara says, because that's the din, therefore there's no case in the Mishnah. There's no case whatsoever in the Mishnah that Hechshayt and Miktas Nisko is Chai V'chol Nisko in the case of a Shor, because of Mutter Shoch. If they need the fifth guy to such a major component of the washing, without him, the Shor is for sure going to break loose, so then for sure he's Chai V'chol. I don't need a Mishnah, I don't need a Brice for that, it's obvious. If the Shor could have easily been washed by four people, they didn't do a good job, then of course he's Potter. So therefore there's no case in the Mishnah. Ad Kan Devi, Gemara and Gemara is going to talk about sticks and other strange things. Everyone got that line to Gemara? Michael Ovid? I'm not responsible for anything? I have a cash to ask you. What do you mean I'm not responsible? Didn't I what? What? Wasn't I Mekabel Shemira on this animal? Didn't I make a deal with you? I'm one of the five people, not an outsider, not a stranger. You asked five of us to watch your animal. So doesn't that create some kind of a degree of responsibility? What's the answer? What's the obvious answer? No, it doesn't. The degree of responsibility is only the people who are Peshaya, which ultimately are the first four that showed up. The fifth guy wasn't Peshaya. His not coming is not labeled as an act of Peshaya, because he knew full well the other four could have easily lassoed this animal if they would have just wanted to do so. So his not showing up does not constitute an act of Peshaya, even though he was Mekabel Shemira. So just accepting Shemira is not in and of itself a recipe for disaster to have to pay. It's if you're a Mekabel Shemira and you're a Peshaya B'Shmirascha, that's what creates a chiyuv to pay. Then they throw a curveball at you. Isn't there an understood acceptance when five people sign onto something together that they're going to do what for one another? They're going to cover for one another? What would the din be if I forget this crazy case? Five people come and want to borrow an animal together. And they're all Peshaya Lagamri. Everyone's Peshaya. And four of the guys skip town. And there's only one guy left. How much does he have to pay? A fifth or what? Maybe he has to pay everything. Based on what would he have to pay the whole thing? He only was Mekabel up to a fifth. So why would you think he has to pay more? What? No, they all five were Peshaya. But not this case. Right? I lend five guys an animal, and all five of them were Peshaya, then four of them skipped town. Can't find them anymore. No property left. Can't be found. There's the one guy who's left, the loser who got left behind. Oh! Alter said a magic word. Isn't there like almost like a built-in responsibility? Like an arvos kind of a thing? That we're all in this together, and if you can't get my friend, you're going to get me? I can see Mr. Alter is a lawyer in him speaking. Isn't there some kind of an understanding here that everyone's going to cover for one another? And what is the Gemara saying here in the Fiyatim and Aleph? The fellow who didn't come is going to walk away what? scot-free. You know why he's scot-free? Because he wasn't Peshea. But wait a second. Even though it may be true he wasn't Peshea, but wasn't he accepting upon himself some kind of a built-in arvus? Wasn't that some kind of a co-signership? Wasn't that some kind of an acceptance responsibility that we missed over here? So this line of Gemara is going to become pivotal in the next half of the sugya. So this is going to set the stage for a major discussion in the Gedolei Acharonim about what the Gemara did or did not say concerning the relationship of a maskid and a shomer, a malva and a loiva and orev, and a lot of people's names and places are going to all converge together to understand what happened to the sugya. Why does the fellow who didn't show, why does he get off scot-free, even though he wasn't Peshea, why can't we come after him based on some other kind of understanding? Hopefully that's Shem tomorrow. We'll have to come to the second half of this week. Okay.